Now, turn with me to John and chapter 20. We'll read from John chapter 20, from verse 19 to the end of that chapter. I'm reading from the ESV. John chapter 20, verse 19 reads as follows. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, wasn't with them when Jesus came. So the other disciple told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the marks of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Put your hand and place it in my side. Don't disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who haven't seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. May I ask that we join our hearts together and just pray that in these moments, as we consider together and as we do this feeble effort, God will be pleased to bless this word to our hearts. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, indeed, we would pause before you and wonder who is indeed qualified or worthy or able to cause your heart, your word to be ministered to our hearts, and to cause that this may be known inwardly by all of us, and to cause that when we are done, we may all have this testimony that we met with the living God. And, oh God, we do know the answer to that, that there is none among us. But we do ask that may it please you at this moment to condescend and to come and to be with us and to cause that we may behold wondrous things from your word and to cause that, Father, each one of us will be blessed. And so, Father, be with us. Attend to me, oh God, and attend to your people in this congregation, and cause your name and the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to be honored and glorified. This we do pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to draw your attention immediately to our text this morning, and it is verse 31. "But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." Now, it is said that A good author of a good book will give a reason why he has authored that book. And for those who are good readers, they know that the good thing to do as you get to any book is to go to the preface and the introduction of the book and satisfy yourself as to know the reason why that book has been written, to see what the author is saying, but also even to know what those who recommend the book are saying about the book. And it is very important, therefore, to know why certain things are done in life and why certain records are placed before us. And it is always very important to be able to, once you are done with either reading the book or going through records, that you are able to say, I now know the reason why. And when you have said, I now know the reason why, you will also be able to say, I follow what the reason is, and I do as what I have been taught. Concerning the Gospel of John, the writer himself, in the closing books of the Gospel of John, chapter 21 and chapter 20 in particular, he gives us a reason. In chapter 21, verse 25, he says, now, there are so many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself couldn't contain the books that would be written. And so basically, he is saying to us that what we have in the gospel is a summary of what Jesus Christ did, what he taught, and all events surrounding him. And in verse 31, he gives the reason why this summary has been done the way it has been done, why these things are written the way they are written. And immediately you notice that he is telling us that these things that have been written have been specially chosen for a particular reason. And that is that reading these things and knowing these things, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in him. And therefore we have before all this a very important record, a record that moves us in a particular direction, and a record that brings to us real life. And I want us to start from this very point. Why this record of our Lord Jesus Christ? Why do we even have people in response to this? They go through the waters of baptism like we have seen. Why should an adult, grown up, make himself or herself wet and come out of that? What is the importance of all these things? And why would an adult do so? Friends, these are written for an important reason. Now, I want you to notice that the context of our text here was after the resurrection of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. This was after he had died, was buried, and on the third day, he rose again. This was after he had appeared to the disciples. And when he appeared to them, one of them wasn't in their midst. He was away and he comes back. And they tell him these things. And he says, until I put my finger into his nails, prints, and places my hand into his side, I will not believe. Lo and behold, he saw the Lord Jesus Christ. Thomas did. He saw the Lord, resurrected from the dead. And when he had done so, the Lord graciously called him. And when the Lord was saying, peace be with you, in the first instance, Thomas wasn't there. In the second instance, Thomas was there, and he was therefore being included. Peace be with you, Thomas. Here now see these things. And Thomas said, when he did see these things, he believed. He said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who haven't seen and yet have believed. John is saying, these things that Jesus Christ did, the many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but some written and some provided for us, these are for a purpose. A purpose that we may be on track. But just before this, I want you to notice that John admits that not everything was written. And he says, if we were to put everything, and if we were to start recounting even us here today of what Jesus Christ did, we would be here a long time. 30 score years and over is too long. But Jesus did many other things. And therefore, John carefully selects these things. And among the things that John selects, if you go through the book of John itself, if you confine yourself to that, you will read of his first miracle, of the wedding at Cana. You will read of the healing at the pool. You will read of the feeding of the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. You will read of our Lord Jesus Christ walking on water. The healing of the man born blind. You will read of raising of Lazarus to life. And also, and praise the Lord for this, and indeed this is what gives us life also, the resurrection of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all this for a purpose, to direct our attention, not necessarily to all these events and the miracles, but that these miracles, these events, will point us to believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I dare ask this morning, that here is one event concerning the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And concerning all these events that Jesus Christ did, this very baptism that we have seen, friends, these are people who are convinced within themselves that Jesus is Lord. And these are people who know that indeed these events did happen. Friends, are you convinced that these events did happen? Do you know of a reality that these events did happen? The record of the facts that we have in the Bible are facts that tell us of things that indeed did happen. But also, they are written down to give evidence of the being of God and also the work of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll come back to this in a moment. Now, John himself must have heard some of these things, must have seen Jesus Christ do some of these things. And yet, what he does when he comes to the end of the record that he has put specifically for us and under the unctioning and the leading of the Holy Spirit, that we may know and believe that Jesus is the Christ. Before I come more specifically to come to the reason why these things are written, I want to ask again, all these things that you read of in the Bible, the miracles of our Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you see people obeying in the waters of God, in the waters of baptism. What does that do to you? It must have an effect upon you, whether you are a Christian or you are not a Christian. Baptism itself is affirmation of the reason why the record of Scripture is here before us. But you see, not many believe. You see, it's very sad that many this morning are just wallowing away in their sin, not concerned about what God has done and what he is doing. And in fact, generally, you do see that the percentage of those who believe is going down. Spurgeon once wrote and said that 98% of the people he met, 98%, including the criminals he visited in England's prisons, told him that they believed in the Bible to be true. But the vast majority had never made a personal, life-changing commitment to Jesus Christ. For them, belief wasn't with them. I pray that you are not among the number of those that will claim to believe that the Bible is true, and yet you haven't made a personal, life-changing commitment to Christ. And I also pray that those of you who indeed claim that you have made a life-changing commitment to Christ, you live so by the very testimony of your life. I pray that this is true. But friends, these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And I pray that this is what you have come to, and this is what you will come to. That today you will be, or you are among those who have made this life-changing commitment to Christ, those who believe two things. Who believe that this man who was resurrected is the Christ, and the very resurrection is the evidence of the fact that he is a Christ. That this man is indeed God. And I want to show you that for John, this is what he was convinced about. As he wrote this, and he said it's a record, and he says the reason is this. And he starts this right from the very beginning. If you go to John chapter 1, here is John's testimony. And here is what he says, right from the very first verse of John. Concerning him, he says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. "He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Without him wasn't anything made that was made." In verse 31, he would continue his testimony. And John himself would be very persuaded about this. "I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel." Not John the writer, but John the Baptist. This is what he says. "And John bore witness. I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him." So John tells us about John the Baptist. And John the Baptist says, "I did not know him, but it is for this reason that I'm baptizing for the reason that he came into the world. And he continues, I myself do not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God. This, friends, is his testimony. Consider why the Jews would want to stone him when he was beginning to say to them that he is equal with God the Father. In John chapter 5, verse 18, I'll read verse 21. This was why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill Jesus, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his Father, making himself equal with God. I said, how can this be? So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him that he himself is doing, and greater works than these will he show him, so that you may marvel. So as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. Oh, friends, we can go on, but John would include the record when Jesus says he is greater than Abraham in John chapter 8 and verse 53. When the Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. And Jesus says to them, are you greater than our father Abraham who died? Jesus answered to them in verse 54, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. But you haven't known him. I know him. If I were to say I don't know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. How can this man equate himself to Abraham? They would want to kill him. They would want to stone him. Let me show you another, and then we go back to our text in John chapter 10, verse 24 through to 30. Again, Jesus comes, and again the Jews gathered around him and say to him, verse 24, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not part of my flock. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. And the Jews stood up and wanted to stone him and said he's a blasphemer and so on and so forth. He passed right through them in the crowd. Yet they did not believe. Our text is basically saying these things that are written were written so that you may believe. Therefore, all the things that Jesus did had one specific purpose, that they may believe. In fact, in John 12, he makes it plain that he came that he may save some. That was his mission. But they would not believe. He says to them, I told you, you do not believe. You are here this morning. You are being told, you do not believe. What more do you want? This people going through the waters of baptism is not a joke. It's people who have believed. And they have believed basically two things. They have believed that Jesus is the Christ, the one who was chosen by God himself to come and save some. That he is God himself. That he is the second person of the Godhead. That when the world was being created, he was there creating. And these things are laid before us. Nature itself points to the fact that there is God. Our very being points to the fact that there is God. But you do not believe. And this is common with men. You remember the story of Charles Blondin. Charles Blondin was a tightrope walker who lived in France. And on June 30th, it's said, in 1859, he did one of the most amazing acts. And he became the first person to cross the mighty Niagara Falls on a rope, a tightrope. And he did this several times. But on that day, he walked across that tightrope with a wheelbarrow. And when he did that, he asked the question, do you believe I can carry a person across in this wheelbarrow? And it is said that the crowd took it almost a step back, but they yelled, yes, yes, we believe. You are the greatest tightrope walker, they said. He said, okay, who wants to get into the wheelbarrow with me? And it is said another step was taken back. The Lord Jesus Christ gives that invitation, but more than just walking in a wheelbarrow with a tightrope walker. He has done these many things. If you do not believe the miracles written in the Bible, believe the testimonies that you have heard of these individuals. Most of us, we have seen Zewe, who was baptized here this morning, just now. We've seen her grow up as a baby, a child, a teenager. And we've seen, those of you who have known her, we've seen her life change around. Grown up in here. Why do you think that Zewe would come to the waters? That today would see a young lady on our way to being after God's own heart in this way? It's because Zewe has believed Christ Jesus. Zewe has believed that he is the Son of God. But while we do see all this, Zewe's life is changing. Does this convince you that Jesus is the Christ? Does it? Or you'd come and sit just one of those Sundays? A waste of life and a waste of evidence that you're supposed to make use of. A waste of evidence that can change your life. All the while, God is saying to you, I have sent a Savior to give you life. And all the while, you are rejecting this evidence of life. Friends, if you do so then, how are you going to escape? Listen to what Jesus Christ himself says. When he said that the Son of Man must be lifted up, and he saw the unbelief of other people, in John chapter 12, Jesus Christ would come and give more firm reason as to why he came. And I want us to come to this now in the third place. But look at what he says in John chapter 12 and verse 14. And Jesus cried out and said, whoever believes in me, believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me, sees him who sent me. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I don't judge him, for I didn't come to judge the world, but to save the world. He gives reason himself why he came. He came from the Father. He is the one with the Father and the Spirit of God who created everything that we do see. He created us. And having created us, we fell into sin. And each one of us, when we are born in this world, we are born as sinners. And that's why no one teaches you how to sin. Sin comes naturally because of your very nature. But he, in his great love and mercy, he comes. Sent of the Father, he says. And when he comes, he says, when you see me, you have seen the Father. And you have got the great reason why I'm here. And this is the great reason why Jesus Christ came. That he may save you. That he may save the world. But do you see what many do? What we read earlier on? They did not believe in him. They did not believe because he says, you're not of my sheep. But more than this, he says, I told you, but you do not believe. That's what we read in John chapter 10. I told you, but you do not believe. And hey, listen. I have come into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world. He has come that he may save you. He's come that he may save you. Friends, when you hear a great story, you want to know the person behind the great story. When you hear of a great event, you want to know the one behind this great event. When you hear of someone who died and has come alive, you will run to try to see him. Here is one who died. Come alive. Recently we were celebrating Easter. Did it have the meaning of a great story, a great event for a reason? Was this something spectacular to you? And did it just remain as something spectacular? Or maybe we're still as a children's fable story to tell them good things. What does the Word of God teach us about him? I say to you, the Gospel of John, the Bible presents Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, that you may believe. That you may believe. And in believing, that you may have life in Jesus' name. All the while, all these things, it is so that you may have life in Jesus' name. And that's what John says, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. When things are done, when records are made, when books are written, and they do not come to anything meaningful, throw them out, they mean nothing. But here is one. The record is made, an event is stored up for us in his word for a very important reason. It is that we may have life. You see, we come into this world dead in our trespasses and sins. And like I said, we don't have to convince you, we don't have to convince one another that this is what we are. We sin naturally, we will steal naturally, given the opportunity. We will lie naturally to come out of a problem. We will mask up our very nature and so on. And even mask up, sometimes we dress up to mask up who we really are. Somebody annoyed a lady recently who had makeup. He said, your makeup is just to mask up the cruelty of your heart. She said, what? You are masking up who you are. She said, what? Ulina mtima oipa. And she got really mad. My makeup? And I said, oh, so maybe it's true, it's the makeup, because she was able to repeat. But more seriously, everything that we are points to who we really are. Points out as those who are sinners. But on this day, when Thomas came to behold the Savior, he said, my Lord and my God. And when he says, my Lord and my God, he was able to see beyond what Jesus was doing and see that in believing in him, he would be saved. And I want you to notice that the two words, believe and believing, in the context there, are talking about the state of what we become and the state of what we continue being. In other words, these things are written so that we may come to a position that changes us, and in changing us, we leave that position. And that's what basically this text is doing. That we may come to a position where we are changed inwardly. We come to a position where we live as those who are changed inwardly. And when he says we may have life in his name, that life is real life. And I want you to see that it is eternal life. But before we do that, I want you to see that it is that little word in, that two-letter word in, gives us everything that is so glorious, that has so much meaning. Because in his name means three things. One, it is that we appropriate the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The second one is that we are indeed included in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Ephesians and chapter 1. We'll be done in a moment. Ephesians and chapter 1. And let us read together verse 6. I'll take it from verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he who chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us for adoption as sons through Christ, through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has blessed us in the beloved, blessed us in the beloved, showing that indeed when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, believe that we are that he is the Son of God, he grants us life, and it is life in him. It is life in the beloved. And thus indeed we are able to appropriate. But more than that, we do feel the sense of belonging. But it's not just a sense of belonging, but it's actually belonging to him in the beloved. So we appropriate the very blessings of God through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, but he includes us in the beloved. But also, in the third place, in the name of Jesus, has another greater meaning. It is that sense of security that the Apostle Paul records for us in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 3. He says, "For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." You have died. And the death he's talking about is that dead life you are born with as you come into this world. You die to that life. You have died. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. Do you see the very high sense of security that we have? You see, our believing in God and believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, is not abstract believing. It's not just a question of believing and putting it in your head and it remains there. That's why Blondine wasn't believed when he's challenged people, "Come and ride with me on this tightrope." They wouldn't trust him. And indeed, it is true, anything would happen. The wind would blow, or maybe at that particular moment would sprain his leg somehow or other, or pull a muscle and you are gone into the Niagara Falls. But you see, the believing that is talked about here is one where your life is hid in Christ with God. In other words, your security of this life is not here, but it is in heaven. Do you see why, friends, therefore, we would want to obey the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you see why individuals would come and testify publicly and use this instrument of faith, baptism, and say, "I have died with Christ, and I am risen together with him, and my life is hid with Christ"? When it is presented before you that this gives you life for now, life for later, life for eternity, you are, I want to use a strong word, you are a fool not to believe these things. When life is presented before you, you choose life. When you've got a choice between death and life, you will choose to live, all of us. And I can demonstrate this. You know, one preacher, when he was talking about life and death, and he was saying, "I can prove to you that you will choose life when you are given an opportunity to make a choice." He immediately went under the pulpit and said, "Here is one with an AK-47. And a few people who were very intent wanted to go under their seats as well. That is a sign of choosing life. And even you, even if it's not done in this dramatic fashion, in a silly way in church, wherever you are. When somebody shouts at you, run for your life, you will run for your dear life. But also, friends, the very sanctity of life demands that we should always choose life. God has given us breath today that we may choose life. And so, friends, I want to close. And I want to ask you the question again. With all this evidence before you, and with the evidence of people getting baptized, what is your response to all these things? The design of the Gospels, the design of the entire Bible, is that you may come to have life in the Lord Jesus Christ. How many times have you taken the word of God, you have read it, and you've still remained the same? How would you leave this auditorium today and you would still remain the same? How, when we have told you of the miracles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how, when we read of his death, how, when we read of his resurrection, how, when we read that he came to save, how would you go back and still be the same? How would you remain unchanged? How? Just how? I have a plea for you today. And my plea is this: come to the Savior. Make no delay. Here in his word that we have read today, that you have read, he has shown us the way. And here in our midst today, he is tenderly inviting you and he's saying, come. He is with us today. He is with you today. Oh, that you may heed his blessed command and come today and obey now his essence. And he is tenderly still inviting you. Will you come to him? Those of you who call upon him today, will you live a life that truly testifies that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Will you live your life in such a way to demonstrate that indeed you have life in his name? And it is a life that points beyond the life here on earth, that your life is hid together with him in God, with God. And indeed it points not only to the saving grace of our Savior now, but also to the ultimate glory that is ours with him. Oh, dear friends, these things are written that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing that we may all have life in his name. May God bless you to the end that you may have life in his name. Amen.